Welcome to a special episode of Sapper and Spice with Isha and Shivani. The 12th edition of the Cricket World Cup kicked off close to a week ago. England is hosting the World Cup for the fourth time. This year, 10 teams compete in 48 matches over the next 5 to 6 weeks, all teams vying for the title of best 50 over side in the world. England, Australia, India are expected to be the top contenders for the trophy. India, with their 15-man squad, play their first match of the tournament today, as they look to repeat similar World Cup victories to that of 1983 and 2011. With me today to talk all things Indian cricket is my guest, Amit Kohli, from the Crick Index podcast. Amit joins me in today's conversation all the way from the UK. Hi, Amit.
Hi, Shivani. Thanks for having me on.
So, Amit, India is at the top of the cricketing world, having, you know, nailed South Africa 5-1 away, given England a run for their money. Not only have they won these games, but they've also looked remarkably convincing in their triumphs. So, Amit, the question is, what makes India so good? Shall we look at, you know, what makes India one of the top contenders of the ICC 2019 World Cup?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're going to be top contenders, and all pundits think that they're going to make the semi-finals quite comfortably, along with probably England, Australia and one other. One way of looking at it is they've probably got the best batsman in the world in Virat Kohli.
Yeah.
And they've probably got the best bowler in the world in Jasprit Bumrah. But they have the advantage in that they have all the resources in the world. There's no, you know, they're not like an Afghanistan or a South Africa who are struggling financially. They have everything in their favour. It's a cricket-mad country. They've got more players to pick from. They've got the biggest pool of players. These days, 8-9-year-olds have got batting coaches in India. So they've got everything for them. But even so, they're probably still, you know, they're not the number one country in the world in terms of the rankings. England are number one. But, you know,
they're number two, right?
Probably number two, number three maybe. But the thinking is that India have won the tournament previously, so they've got winners in their team. When you compare with a team like, Australia have got such a big pedigree in the World Cup, current champions. Whereas with England, even though they've been playing a fantastic brand of cricket, they've never quite got over the finish line. They were looking all-conquering in the Champions Trophy a couple of years ago, and then they came up against Pakistan in the semi-final and lost. So, you know, in knockout cricket, England haven't got the greatest record. So maybe the mental edge is with the Indians. Psychologically, when you've got Kohli and MS chasing, they know exactly what to do. Everybody knows what their roles are.
Yep.
And their confidence is so supreme.
Would you say Virat Kohli is the X factor in the Indian cricket team? He basically, you know, he can tear down the best of the bowling attacks. He's a right-handed batsman, a clean striker off the ball, is said to be one of the best cricketers in the world today. Your thoughts?
Is he
the X factor?
He is the X factor in terms of the, he's the captain now. So, and it's the drive and the intensity that he brings to the game, which is not necessarily the usual. It's a quality we normally associate with the Australians, say, or the South Africans, to have that kind of fighting determination. But Kohli, this now younger breed of Indian cricketer is in the mould of the Virat Kohlis of the world, superb in the field, which, you know, when I was growing up, that wasn't the case. The Asian teams couldn't field. These guys are superb athletes. And Kohli just brings that, you know, people play for him. He's got that natural leader ability. He rubs people up the wrong way, you know, so opposition fans and people don't like him. I don't think he's necessarily the best tactician when it comes to being a captain. I think MS Dhoni is there and almost captaining by proxy even now. Mm-hmm. But in terms of that kind of drive and intensity, and, you know, that he can boost everybody else's performance by 10% just because it's him. He's got, like, yep. Maradona back in the day in the Soccer World Cup, yes, for Argentina. So
yeah, it's like these, Maradona.
These kind of players are mercurial. They can do it on their day. And the thing is, the pressure that the Indian team faces will be 50-fold compared to any other team in the World Cup. And they handle this kind of pressure, the media attention. The England players, honestly, I live in England. The England players could walk around and people don't know who they are.
Yeah. Really?
One of the things is they're all cricket, since 2005, all cricket in England is behind the paywall of Sky TV. So it's a subscription channel. So, you know, not everybody gets it. Like Ian Botham says, still.
World Cup? Is that on free to air?
It's not on free to air, no. The World Cup is also. It's not on free to air TV. So this kind of becomes a challenge in that Joe Root and Ben Stokes, these kind of players. You know, I mean, how else can Ben Stokes go to a nightclub and get himself into a bit of trouble? and the person he's having a fight with didn't even realise that he was Ben Stokes. I mean, that kind of. Yeah. Could you imagine that? I mean, for me and you to go to a
look, he.
You know, to get close to a
player. He wouldn't be able to get away with that at an IPL match in India. No way.
No, of course not. But the point being that to get close to the equivalent Indian player, there's like 50. Mm-hmm. There's 50 men to go through. You've got to get through somebody to somebody to somebody just to get through to his security guard. In England, it's slightly different. But there is a buzz about the place for the World Cup. This could be. It could be a 1983 moment, if you like, for the English, in that they're actually favourites. Home tournament always helps. They've got a team that could win. It could be the couple dev moment for the England team.
But. It could be. So do you think Cawley holds the key to India's worldship campaign?
He does, because the compared to England, say, who are favourites, their team is very reliant. So the negatives, I suppose, for the Indian team is they're very reliant on a few players. So Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli, Shikhar Dhawan, MS Dhoni, that's like the batting done. So if you get quick 2-3 wickets, then India could be in trouble, whereas other teams bat a bit more deep. So the all-rounder slot is with a guy called Hardik Pandya, who's had a fantastic IPL. He's all, you know, but it's, do they have the, you know, can they get the big scores? And if their top order fails, that's the question they would have to answer. So Kohli's a bigger wicket compared to, you know, Owen Morgan can get out for England. Joe Root can get out for England. It doesn't make a difference because they've got Ben Stokes. They've got Josh Butler coming in. They've got Moeen Ali coming in at number 9 or something crazy.
Yeah.
So they've got so much depth. Whereas you get to sort of 6 or 7 and then the England, it's just the bowlers.
Yep.
For the Indians. But I mean, what bowlers they've got. So it's fantastic to think almost that the Indians, who traditionally have a batting strength in this particular format, they now are, their bowlers are sort of, you know, at the fore. So they have the pace attack, they have the spin attack, they do have all bases covered. So and with the mental edge that they know how to win tournaments, previously they have so much support. It will feel like a home World Cup for those guys, apart from the weather.
Well, indeed. Judging from what we see on TV, I mean, tonight's match, it definitely looks like a home cup. A lot of Indians.
And even in places like, the game's going on in Southampton. There may not be the biggest Indian crowd in Southampton, but England's not a big place like that. You can travel city to city. It's not a problem, a few hours in the train. They'll feel like it's a home tournament from their point of view. They always know they're going to get good support, no matter in the world, wherever they go, to be honest.
And mind you, the bowling attack has always been somewhat, you know, unpredictable. You know, it's been a major concern, especially in recent years with India in the bowling department, the lack of bowlers who can really perform on a consistent basis, you know, has really been a problem and still sort of ails in the team. But, I mean, you seem to feel differently.
In the past, they may have had the situation like, you know, what happens if Bumrah doesn't perform? Mm. But then you think nowadays, oh, yeah, but we've got Bhuvi. Or what if one of the spinners doesn't perform? Or Chahal, what if he has a bad day? Or because the pitches are so flat nowadays, what if, you know, a couple of guys get taken to the cleaners? That's just the nature of the game now. You know, people are there thinking that, you know, they're going to get 400 or 500 is even on the card sometimes, they feel. the game has changed in that there's not going to be any maidens. There's not going to be, you know, if you're going at 7 or 8 and over, that's not that bad anymore compared to in a bygone era that was considered that you're taking some tap. So
yeah,
So I think the Indians have got it covered in that they've got the ability to restrict the team if they can with their spinners. So, but the beauty is they've got a number of match winners now. So in terms of match winners, they've got, you know, Hardik Pandya on his day can be deadly with the ball, even though most of the time he's not going to be, but it could be his day.
Mind you, he was sensational for Mumbai Indians, right? He had a great IPL.
Absolutely.
Season.
I mean, after that coffee with Gurren debacle that he had and stuff, and then under a lot of pressure, and he's, you know, decided he's going to do his talking with the bat and the ball.
Yeah. Well, both him and KL, right?
And KL, yeah. And, you know, there's not a very wiry frame, Hardik Pandya, but he clears the boundary. He's got some muscle. It's like he can hit a six, but not in the same way as the West Indians can, because they kind of go with a bit more power. But he hits a clean ball. It's great that they can bring that power hitting, which is a big part of the game nowadays. You know, in the last 5 overs, you want to be trying to target 50 runs at least. So he's got the ability. So they've got game changers. They've got game changers, which is good.
True. Yeah. So if you mentioned, you know, there's this over-reliance on the top three. In the last few years, you know, more than 60% of the runs have been scored by the top three. So you've got the likes of, you know, Rohit Sharma, Shekhar Dhawan. Who's the third? Is it Kohli or KL? Who plays the third?
Yeah, no, Kohli will come in at number three.
At number three.
Yeah, and then the big question used to be about who's going to play number four. They've had quite a merry-go-round with a number of players. Famously, Mbathi Raidu was dropped, you know, and Rishabh Pant, everybody thought he was going to play. He was also not selected for the squad. So Kohli's going to come in at three. KL Rahul
but
had
what
a.
What could this mean? You know, a failure at the top three means there's a sudden batting collapse. I mean, so, you know, is it a risk that we're taking with Team India being over reliant on its top three?
I think that's just the makeup of the players that they have. Because when the likes of Rohit Sharma, this guy scores double centuries in ODI cricket. So they're all very accomplished players. It just so happens that they don't have the array of all-rounders that the England team has. Mm-hmm. So from that point of view, it'll always come across as, okay, they've got 4 or 5 batters, and then they've just got the bowlers with the wicketkeeper put in the middle. But after the top three, though, then they have these guys. This is where the question arises as to, you know, can they do it or can they not do it? We'll see. But they've got MS Dhoni coming in at number five. They'll have Kedar Jadhav coming in at 6 and then Hardik Pandya at 7. So those three. But I mean, MS Dhoni is in fantastic form, as we've seen in the IPL.
Yeah, he had a great IPL.
Great
right?
IPL. And to be honest, if you're chasing down a score and MS Dhoni is there, you kind of put your bottom dollar on it that he's going to chase it down.
Yeah.
And he brings that kind of aura along with himself. So the opposition almost are shaking as well slightly. So that, you know, everybody always says, "Oh, how are England going to lose? They, you know, they can't lose, can they? If circumstances are such that it's they don't get to bat second, they don't get to chase a score down, and you know, I think the record that MS Dhoni and Kohli have, especially Kohli averages something like 90 something, or is it 100 even in the chase? He's so good in the chase that they know how to do it. So
While we're on MS Dhoni, he's a master tactician, you know. An aging Dhoni may not be, the finisher that he once was, but the experience is still there. I mean, he's one of the main pillars of the side. What can we expect from Dhoni in this World Cup?
I think Dhoni will be captaining, pretty much setting the fields and doing the captaincy. Yep. Because I think
field placement,
because Kohli will be put on the boundary because he's one of the better fielders. So at that stage, then you need somebody closer to the middle. So MS will be there from a tactical point of view, and he doesn't lose it. He's very cool and very calm. He's very opposite almost. In the IPL, listeners will know that Kohli loses his rag quite a lot and sort of openly shows it. So it kind of goes both ways. MS Dhoni, it doesn't matter if you're winning or you're losing, he's stone cold. You know, he doesn't show emotion. Yep. So it's nice to have that balance. But I mean, he's played 342 games, more than 10,000 runs, averages 50.
Oh, wow. The guy's impressive.
And then we always say, oh, he's aging. Has he lost it? And then next thing you know, he just has like two super IPL seasons. And, you know, and then you start thinking, why did we ever doubt him?
He's in great form. Yeah. He has a lot more to offer to the team than being just a wicket keeper and a batsman. DRS, need I say more? Dhoni referral system. Any comments on that?
Yeah, he's very good. He knows when to do it, when not to do it. After the initial, you know, Kohli thinks it's a lottery, that there's a chance that everything can be out. He has to be told that.
Yep.
There's a reason the umpire's finger didn't go up. And, you know, these days you've got to be, if the umpire gives it not out, it's going to have to be a howler for it to be given out, you know, because even if it's just skimming or, you know, the wicket, it's not going to be given LBW. It's going to be umpire's call. So, you know, that's the case there. But people like us, Indian fans, are drawn to the likes of Kohli, MS Dhoni, all these sort of players that can perform on the highest stage.
Yeah. So back to the number four debate. I mean, KL Rahul, I mean, he's an opener who has sealed the number four spot in India's batting order. Your thoughts on that?
I thought originally they were going to give it to Rishabh Pant. I thought that was the way they were going to blood him for future tournaments. He's already made his debut and successful series in the test match format. Mm-hmm. So I thought this was going to be the time. But they decided to go with Rahul should be in the squad no matter what. The fact that he scored a century in the warm-up game against Bangladesh means that they kind of think, okay, let's put him in. A lot of the belief is that the selectors wanted to pick Pant, but Kohli and Dhoni didn't want to pick him for whatever reason.
Okay.
So obviously those guys win when it comes to selection. You know, if he's shown his credibility, so he's a fantastic. I mean, they want Rahul to succeed. They've given him a lot of rope in the Test match format as well. He's had a great IPL. Yep. He's in better nick. He's got a good record. His record is still better than Ambati Raidu, who wasn't selected. Say. Rishabh Pant hasn't been selected for whatever reason. Muddled thinking on his selection because they mentioned that it was because his wicket keeping isn't very good, but he's the Test match wicket keeper. So
exactly, yeah,
exactly. But because he scored a century, and Kohli likes him as well. You know, I think for him to be, because originally when they selected the squad, they were going to think that Vijay Shankar was going to come in as the number four. I don't think Vijay Shankar is a number four.
I don't think. I mean, in comparison, I would think that Ambati Raidu would be a better number four.
So I was thinking, well, even if Vijay Shankar bowls a bit, but it doesn't bring that much to the table. So if he's in the squad, he's in the squad. So I'm really pleased that Rahul got his century to sort of not have that debate anymore. So they've gone in and they've picked their best team. I'm pleased that they've picked the spinners as well. I know there's a lot of talk about Kuldeep having a bad IPL and then should he be played and that kind of, you know, he's a great bowler. And, you know, just because he got tapped around a bit in a few games in the IPL shouldn't necessarily mean that you lose faith. So I was pleased that he got picked. So India have gone with their players who are in form and they've and the pictures here we've seen, the advantage has been that the Indians have got to see a few games because they're quite late starters in the tournament, which means that the pitches are much drier. They're going to favour spin. So they've gone with Yuzvendra Chahal and Kuldeep, the wrist spinners, as opposed to the finger spinning of Jadeja. They've gone with their strengths. You know, so they've said, well, this is what we're going to do. And then you've got Kedar Jadhav there to sort of hold the innings together if there's a bit of a collapse. He's got some right arm off break spin bowling as well, so he can kind of put his arm over him and Hardik Pandya will share the fifth bowling option, really. So you know, they've got
and
all
what
bases
about Bumrah. I mean, Bumrah is a gift to the side, right? I mean, not only can he tilt the match in the team's favor by restricting, you know, the run flow or taking vital wickets, I mean, he's the best, would you not say he's the best fast bowler?
I still think, only because over a longer period of time, I like Rabada from South Africa. I think Rabada's really, really good. But from an Indian point of view, Jasprit Bumrah is amazing. I love his action and I love his awkwardness. Nothing that he does is the rule book. He just came from 2020 cricket and everybody thought he can't do this at Test match level, surely. And he's proven in England that he can do it at test match level. And he,
I mean, he
gets
rarely
so much pace.
Has a bad day, right?
He rarely has a bad day. And he's so fast, considering he doesn't have that kind of flowing action like a Mitchell Starc or like a Pat Cummins. He has a really awkward kind of run up. And I'm thinking, how can he get all that? You know, how does he get the speed? And you just think if he had a better bowling action, maybe he could be bowled faster. But as soon as you start trying to do that, you've lost it, because the beauty is that he just has that raw talent. So just leave him and let him do what he does.
How old is he? He's in his 20s, right? Late 20s, early 20s?
I will find out for you just as I... Bumrah is here. He's 25.
25,
20,
wow.
December the 6th,
93. He's lethal.
He's lethal, So, you know, he's he is averaging 3.6 in ODIs. He's played 49 matches. I mean, that is unheard of.
Good record. One
exactly.
For Yorker.
So he's averaging 22.15. His economy is 4.5. Good pace. He's taken a couple of wickets today, being caught at slip. He's got the movement off the pitch. He's, you know, he's got everything. And he's got the death bowling. That's the key. So, you know... a lot of people can bowl up front, but he's got the ability to bowl at the beginning of the innings, ability to bowl at the end. The Indians have got the spin duo.
And he's got this ability to swing the ball both ways,
Exactly that. His natural bowl, his natural delivery action means it's going to come in, but then he can move it either way. So, you know, that's the beauty. Chahal has just, because the match is on, everybody, as we're speaking, Chahal has just taken two wickets.
Yes, 4 wickets down.
He's just taken 2 wickets in the same over. So, so this is what I was saying, in that Bumrah has got the ability to get you early wickets, which then means that the spin duo of Kuldeep and Chahal have got the ability to put the squeeze on in the middle overs as they're doing now. So it's awesome to watch. I think the Indian cricket team has got a fantastic chance to progress.
So, Amit, tell me, how important is the squad for, you know, such a lengthy tournament?
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, they've only been allowed to select 15 players. Obviously, 11 of them play, so the 4 players will miss out in every game. But in this format where everybody plays, everybody in the top 4 go through to the semi-finals and then obviously the final, it's a long tournament. There's a lot of pressure on the fast bowlers having to bowl 10 overs every game. So it's going to be a squad performance. You know, just because we haven't seen Jadeja come into the team today, they'll definitely go with conditions. So they know the conditions where there's going to be less onus on spin. They might decide to rest Kuldeep and put in Jadeja. If one of the fast bowlers is having a bad day or has got a strain or wants to be rested, they've got Mohammed Shami who can come in. So, you know, they've got the bases covered. And that's the key nowadays. It's never a first team that wins the tournament. It's always going to be the team with the best squad and with the best resources, I think, that can come off the bench.
And Mohammed Shami, I mean, do you feel he's in his best form?
I think so. I mean, there was a time a few months ago when, you know, India were touring England and then they went to Australia, that Mohammed Shami, definitely in the test format, he was there, but in the ODI format, we thought maybe he's not, you know, that's not his forte. But his form has been so crucial lately that he's basically barged the door down and forced himself into the squad. You know, then others like Umesh Yadav and people have to miss out. So it's basically Jasprit Bumrah and one of Bhuvneshwar or Mohammed Shami. And I think both of those guys will have a role to play in the World Cup. It's, you know, it's such a long tournament that, you know, and it could be a situation where you've got enough points in the bag and you need to rest some players just to keep them fresh for the semis and so on.
Yeah. So we've got India versus Pakistan coming up on the 14th of June. What are your thoughts? You know, Pakistan, a highly unpredictable team. I mean, sometimes they perform below, you know, the expectations, and sometimes they cause upsets, like defeating England. So your thoughts on India and Pakistan?
Well, I mean, Pakistan, you can't say anything because in the Champions Trophy, India absolutely wiped the floor with them in the first game. And then they meet them in the final and lose. Even now, Pakistan have played 2 games, won one, lost one. And they lost in the most humiliating fashion against the West Indies. And then just came back and beat the tournament favourites in England.
Yeah.
So
it was a great comeback.
It honestly, it just depends what side of the bed they wake up on, it seems. But But that game is always a special game when you come to the World Cup or any ICC tournament. Yes. It's going to be great. I mean, it's in Old Trafford. There's going to be huge crowd. I think there's like 25,000 or something like that in the stadium. But I think more than 500,000 people applied for the tickets.
Are you going?
I'm not going. No, I'm not going. But I have been to an India Pakistan game in the 1999 World Cup, which was actually at Old Trafford as well. But no, it's going to be good. The pitch in Old Trafford is normally quite spinning as well, so that will favour both teams. And it just depends who has it on the day. My hope is anyway that by the time we play Pakistan, that the points are in the bag and we've already chalked up,
fingers crossed,
for 3 or 4 wins, so the pressure isn't on. But I think if you ask me now, that would I like to win the World Cup but lose to Pakistan along the way, I'd have to have a think, because I'd almost like to beat Pakistan but let England win the World Cup or let Australia win the World Cup.
Because
you don't want to have that against you, because there's still always that bit of needle, isn't it, with your friends and colleagues at work and so on.
Yep, 100%.
I hope the game goes ahead without any sort of off the field antics and things. It's a great game, and to be honest, it should be a medium. Cricket being so popular in both countries should be a medium to build a bridge, as opposed to the other way around, way it sort of comes across sometimes.
Yeah, well said there, Amit. And your thoughts on Australia? I mean, they've shown some fight, especially in India and the UAE, with the return of Smith and Warner.
The stars.
Any comments?
The stars seem to be lining up quite nicely when it comes to a World Cup with the Aussies.
Warner had a great IPL season. I mean, he was just the star, right?
He was a top run scorer, and he didn't even play all the games because he had to come home.
How many centuries? Was it 2 or 3?
I know he scored one for definite, but he definitely had the purple cap. But I mean, it looked as though he could have scored a century at will at any time in the tournament. So he's in fantastic form. Steve Smith scored a century in one of the lead-up games, but it looked as though the Aussies weren't even in the mix. Then they won those 3 ODIs against India in India to win the series, because from 2-0 down, they won the series 3-2. And then since that, they've just been on a roll. And then they did all that without Warner and Smith. And now that Warner and Smith are back, it's looking quite a balanced team. They've got Stark and Cummins with the ball. Obviously, they've got speed there. Adam Zampa and Nathan Lyon with the spin department. And they've got these all-rounders as well, like Marcus Stoinis, who can hit a long ball. So they've got quite a balanced team now. And now all of a sudden, you're thinking, 1 minute, Aussies beat England in the warm-ups as well. And those two teams don't like to lose to each other no matter what the situation.
Not at all.
So at the end of the day, Australia are the most successful World Cup team, and they know how to win World Cups and stuff. And and they still have that old Aussie determination and all the rest of it. If this was athletics, there'd be like a drug inquiry or something into the way the Australian team has been performing.
Yes.
Stewards inquiry. Where's the sandpaper? But they've come back, and Australia looking really great, and it's good. It's good for the tournament. Having teams that can compete for that. If we assume England and India get into the top four, and if you say Australia are the third team, my prediction then is that there's a number of teams that could take that fourth spot. We've seen Bangladesh just beat South Africa, so you can't discount them. Pakistan, like you say, can beat anybody, but as a prediction, I'm going with the West Indies as my fourth team.
Really? West Indies?
I think the West Indies. Chris Gayle has he's also in good form. It's his last World Cup. And I think
Andre Russell
can, and there is no boundary big enough for these guys. Everyone moans about the boundaries coming in. You could put them to 90 yards, 100 yards, and it makes no difference, because these guys can clear the boundary at will. They haven't got the spin department, but I think they've got enough to get the fourth spot, and then it's anybody's game. But you don't want to play the West Indies if you can help it either. So I'd like it. There's still a bit of me that likes the West Indies from the old times and stuff. I like it when a team that's unfancied also gets a shot. Mm-hmm. Like I like it when New Zealand do well. because yeah, they're an unfancied sort of team.
South Africa, do you like it when I mean, they're the underdog.
They are. They have, but they've had such a poor start that they haven't. You know, I don't think they're. I mean, they're struggling now against the Indians in this game. They've already lost to Bangladesh. I think their team is very much at breaking point. They don't have the batting. The batting's exposed. They don't have the strength in depth. AB de Villiers, they can't convince him to keep playing. They've got good with the injuries as well. Steyn is out. Ngidi's got an injury. So a lot is now falling on their sort of makeshift all-rounders to sort of fill the spots of first-line bowlers. So I don't think South Africa will feature as much as you want to see him run to here, celebration and all that. Mm. I think he runs more when he takes a wicket than he does in training. But they're fantastic. I think the all-round ability of the West Indies might see them through. But, you know, it could be, I mean, that's a, you know, with an asterisk, anybody could take the fourth spot. But I'd be extremely surprised if the Aussies, England and India don't take the top three in whichever order.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of England, not, you know, they've got an entire team which is in great form, strong openers, solid middle order, good finishers, you know, excellent all-rounders, bowlers who can not only swing but can also sort of smash a few out of the park. Are you a supporter of England? Or
I mean, I support the Indians, and listeners of our Crick Index podcast will know that I like a good banter with the England supporters. But it's nice to see them do well, but I don't want them to.
So there's no
win
divided
it.
Loyalty there.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, I you know, for, you know, when I was a kid at school and stuff, cricket was the only sport that India were good at, and to beat them at something. You know, to beat them at their own game, you know, the old masters and stuff, that sort of rivalry was still there. It would be nice, I suppose, for the country if England did well, because I don't think cricket has the same support in the country as it did back in the day. So, you know, some of the England cricket team aren't celebrity figures anymore. You know, these guys can go around shopping centres and a lot of people may not even know who they are, say. Because they play their game behind the subscription TV. That kind of thing happens. So, you know, whereas back in the day, everybody knows who Ian Botham is, even though he hasn't played for however long. Everybody still knows who he is because there was more of a connect between the public and the, you know, and the players. I think 2005 was a big moment when Michael Vaughan's team beat Australia. You know, they hadn't won the Ashes for so long. And then as soon as they won the Ashes, there was a massive upsurge in participation sport, people getting their kids to join cricket clubs, and then it went behind the paywall, and it's been behind the paywall since 2005. So I know the Australians with the Big Bash have made sure that it stays on free-to-air TV. So, you know, this is the big thing now, that the participation numbers for cricket have been falling, and unlike countries like India, which is like a one-sport nation essentially, England have other sports, you know, that they do quite well in. So, you know, so they're losing the cricket traction that they once had, you know, in say the 80s or the 90s. So, and it's a shame to see that, especially because now, for once, they've finally got a team that's good. So they have to cash in now. So if I was going to say who would I like to see, I'd like to see England win. I think it's nice. It's a feel-good factor for the country you live in, so, I suppose. So it's always there. But, you know, I'm supporting India 100% if they can do it.
Very good.
I think England will win. I think everything's in favour for England to win. But because they haven't won it before, it's always difficult, you know, to win your first one. Do you believe you can do it? They always get into the knockout situation and then somehow fall short. You know, along with South Africa, they're probably the team that should have won a World Cup previously but haven't. You know, so it could just be their unlucky day that they face India in the semis or the final, and the chase and they lose the toss. India chase it down, you know, and it just takes any of those guys we've mentioned previously to have the game of their lives to then take it away from them. When it gets to knockout cricket, it's such fine lines. But these teams should make the semi-finals quite comfortably.
Yeah. And your predictions for the final? England, India, or...?
Oh, it'll be. It depends how the semi-finals and things work out, I suppose. But yeah, no, it would be good to see from the British point of view. So everybody would have then a second team almost. Or there'd be some families where the younger guys would be supporting England and the older older cronies. So there'll be some father son sort of, you know, rivalries going on. So it'd be good to see. It'd be good to see an England India final. An India-Pakistan final, I don't think my heart could cope too much. I think it takes 5 years off my life watching one of them games. So I honestly hope it's a dead rubber. And this format where everybody plays everybody else is so difficult. Before, I'd always hope that, what if we're not in the same group as Pakistan? That's fine. Somebody else beat them for us. Let's see how it goes. It's you know, it may the best team win. I suppose that's the good thing about the format, the way it is. That definitely the best team, the most consistent team, will probably end up winning it. You know, India's hat is definitely in the ring.
Well, we're definitely one of the favourites to win the World Cup. Virat Kohli's side are currently ranked number 2 in the official ICC rankings, having won 14 of their last 15 ODI series. So on paper, Team India has all the right ingredients to dominate this World Cup, and we just hope they bring the trophy back home. Thanks so much, Amit, for being on the show today. Yeah, really appreciated you taking your time out. I understand that you have your own podcast, Crick Index, is that right?
That's right, yeah. You can follow us at on Twitter on @CrickIndex. We've got a Facebook page as well. We've got lots of podcasts on our website, crickindex.com, or you can just subscribe on any of the usual subscription sites like iTunes.
Perfect. So thank you very much. We hope to have you in the near future again. Thanks, Amit.
Thank you, Shwani. Thanks for having me on.
This brings us to the end of today's show. We hope you enjoyed today's bonus episode. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes throughout the World Cup. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Castbox, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for some more fun content. A review would go a long way for us. So if you have a minute, please rate us. Thank you for listening to our podcast today. Stay tuned for our new episode next week. Till then, goodbye.